Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey, back from many journeys, the Monroe Institute in Virginia, pretty darn interesting, and also the Northwestern Astrological Conference. So here we are. We reconvene with Coyote Network News Aphorism Bureau Chief, Egyptian-American poet, aphorism genie, Yahya Labbabidi. On this Maundy Thursday, Last Supper, we weave everything that the mythic news may weave the secular muggle news into liberating divination. So, Yahya Labbabidi is a fellow Libran, moon in Virgo, born at dark of moon, Venus in Scorpio. In fact, his Venus is at 13 plus Scorpio, which is Edward Snowden's moon. May they both rise to increasing influence. It's likely, too. And the image for that is telephone linemen at work installing links to other realities, the cosmic switchboard. So, Yahya is an Egyptian-American thinker, poet, author of 7 books in 4 genres. I love that, 7 books in 4 genres. His forthcoming book, Where Epics Fail, was featured on PBS NewsHour and is generously endorsed by Obama's inaugural poet, Richard Blanco, who says, "Do you know what an aphorism is? It's not exactly a haiku, a proverb, an axiom, nor a poem, yet it harnesses the power of all of these. Aphorisms are an ancient form, but its current day master is Yahya Labbabidi. Yay! Like a sip of wine, a wave just as it breaks, a sliver of the moon, or a drop of rain, each of Yahya's aphorisms appear as simple, natural gestures that in fact hold multitudes of meaning rooted in the eternal, thus saith Richard Blanco." So, Epics is to be published by Unbound UK in partnership with Penguin Random House and is currently available for pre-order. The website is on my website, coyotenewsnews.com. Welcome, Yahya.
Thank you for having me, Carolyn, back in your cave of marvels and for that marvelous introduction, which I partly recognize as myself.
Excellent. So, that's great. You are again the in-person guest in Coyote Network News World Headquarters Studio, which is great, full of animation, and as you said, full of Egypt, more than I'd even known. You were
shocking,
pointing around the room going, there's Egypt and there's Egypt.
It's like everywhere, dear listener, everywhere.
Everywhere. It's we are syncretizing beings, right? I mean, 3 drops of Egypt and all of that. So I was particularly heartened to have you here, of course, always, because aphorism poker really improves the world. But especially after the remarkable Parkland Youth Saturday, so eloquent, so authentic, so ready, you know, and just they spoke in aphorisms too. Alex King, 17 years old, you know, says, "Pain has made us family." Which is good.
Beautiful.
That's very you.
Beautiful.
That's
also Dostoevsky.
Ah.
I mean, it's not directly Dostoevsky, but it's also Dostoevsky.
Right. And then, yes, there's Egyptian cats, literal and imaginary, wandering around here. And then another said, "I took my anger and grief and turned it into action." And this is such an embodiment of something I've loved for so long, which is to replace the word trauma with the phrase, "my dangerous, beautiful assignment." And they've done that. They've done that. They've made they've turned trauma and pain and grief into my dangerous, beautiful assignment. So you said that, you know, and then, you know, so many great things. Love will always outweigh, heart wins over hate, all of those beautiful things. You know, and again, we are here to make Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream real and all of that. So I know you said that you just wrote about them, yeah?
Well, I just think it's amazing to see people at that age, that stage, taking on so much life, so much death, and articulating their position and becoming activists. I mean, I had no clue at that age, even though I grew up in Egypt and I was surrounded by suffering. There's a level of engagement that's so heartening and encouraging to see. And they're basically asking to be given a chance to live differently than the adults, than the world that they forged for them. They're saying, "Please, give us another chance." You know, they're march for our lives. I mean, how heartrending is that?
Well, heart-opening, yeah. And then again, it opened with Cameron Caskey. I follow all these wonderful people on Twitter. It's pretty great. We Are the Change. Today is a bad day for tyranny and corruption.
Beautiful.
And one life is worth more than all the guns in America.
Yeah.
And we go, yes. You know, and another person, oops, easy, Mercury. There we go.
Down boy.
Oh, Mercury's retrograde. But let me pay homage due to Mercury making a little staticky sound here. We don't know why, but maybe if we praise Mercury.
But we respect it.
We respect it.
Yes.
Because Mercury is retrograde now. We are all on a vision quest to find the true purpose of communication. And Mercury's image is a woman weaving a magical basket out of serpents. So we go, okay, there you go. Easy, Mercury. Easy. There we go. So, yes. And so the aphorisms are great. You know, and again, just, you know, another young man quoting his mother's oft-used phrase, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And then he says, and I stand for peace. Malala chimed in, my heart is with you. Ask these student leaders how you can help them.
It's pretty amazing because they're addressing something that people sort of glaze over, and it's this idea of how we choose to live. There's a choice being made, whether it's to ignore these voices and align yourself with, I don't know, fear, greed, status quo, or to recognize that there is a change happening and there's a kind of engagement and awakening that's saying, let's do things differently. It hasn't worked thus far. Please give us another chance. Let us lead the way and show you how.
And this is very you. This is very you, and maybe we'll segue from them to you and back and forth. But at the very end, a wonderful Hispanic young woman says, you know, para la gente, we are magical. We are tapped into magical power. And they go, yes. And then she says, the seeds of corruption, we are here to ensure that those seeds never sprout.
Huh.
Isn't that you?
It's us. It's the human being, or the human being, so to speak. But you say that, and I think of, there's a line, now it escapes me who actually said it, but I think it was used for the Mexican Revolution, or it's certainly used for any sort of uprising. They tried to bury us, but they didn't realize we were seeds.
That's good, too. And again,
yeah.
Berta Cáceres just being honored in Honduras and the recent assassination of so many beautiful, powerful people. But I love the people honoring, the indigenous people honoring Berta a year after she was murdered, saying Berta Cáceres didn't die, she multiplied.
Beautiful.
Right?
Beautiful. No, power of the people. I mean, I come from Egypt. I recognize that until people decide to speak up and say, you know, not in our names, no more, you get whatever tyranny is at hand. So it's so heartening to see these kids mobilizing in this way.
Right. And we don't know who they're going to say easy to Mercury on the static thing, going, there we go, it's too exciting having aphorisms and Egyptian cats in the same room.
We respect you, Mercury. Above all, we respect you.
So I do love so much of your aphorism work. I've tucked them in my magic backpack and every now and then pull them out. You know, where there are monsters is where there are, or maybe it's demons, where there are monsters is where there's something worth protecting. That's you, right?
Sure. Demons, it's also us again. I mean, you're very kind. I can't remember who said this. An aphorist said this. but he said that sort of the greatest compliment you can pay to an aphorist is when they become anonymous. And I think that's grand. There's a new book of aphorisms. It's called Short Circuits. The first issue was called Short Flights. And it's basically modern aphorists. So I'm living American mostly, but I'm included in both aphorists. And one of them, this gentleman, I think he's American, maybe English, Aaron. Forgive me, Aaron, I can't remember your last name, but you're probably the only Aaron in book two. He talks about the greatest compliment given to an aphorist is to become anonymous, because it doesn't really belong to anyone. If it's a truth indeed, then it just happens to be happened upon by some name or other. Who cares who they are?
Well, I kind of love attribution. I do, because, you know, when I find...
For a while, while they're alive, and then forget about it.
Maybe. But here's my pitch, and both can be true simultaneously, of course, is that attribution, because, you know, in the modern world, people share and hoover up other people's material and pass it on. And
that's lazy.
And don't use quotation marks and all that stuff. And then they go, yeah, you should be flattered. And then I go, no, to not attribute is the linguistic equivalent of genetically modified food.
Good God.
Because as Claire Cummings animated this metaphor when we were talking to molecular biologists about GMOs, you know, and some science grumpy science people saying, no, we've always done that. And then they go, no, we've never cut DNA. And Claire said, is this like cutting our guiding story, our connection to our guiding story? And they said, exactly. And so when we attribute, we're keeping the story mythological DNA intact, you know.
For the time being.
It's lineage for the time being. Very well. Okay, I'll hoover your material with it. but you can attribute mine for the time being. There we go. But then, you know, for instance, you know, something I carry with me always, again, just these things that are useful to say and re-say. Sir Herbert Reed, great philosophical British anarchist, only those serving an apprenticeship to nature can be trusted with technology.
Beautiful, beautiful. First time that I hear this, and everything in me sings alongside that. Beautiful.
No, that's a keeper. I keep it like a smooth stone in my pocket because it's so increasingly pertinent to all of us. You know, just to put these things out, and as we both love, you know, magic. Language is magic. Alphabets are magic. They are invocative, which is why we don't want to be, you know, kind of, you know, tiptoey and timid, but we want to, you know, critique and then bless in some form, you know, or again, you know, my own playful jihad against the overuse of the word impact, meaning you want a short, violent encounter, really, as opposed to a long, curvy influence. And then my trickster brother, David Grimes, said, oh, but if we put the cunning use of hyphens, if we put a hyphen in impact, then it's impact, and I'm fine with that.
Oh, impact is delicious. That's why we're here.
Impact, Oakland.
Impact is why we're here this evening.
There we go. This evening, this afternoon, this wherever you
whatever
are,
it is, wherever,
wherever you are. That's right. We're all here now. So, so wherever you want to go to and fro, we have we have right now overhead in Berkeley as we begin. The Midheaven's image was the gateway to the garden of all desired things, and I am rereading many Arabian Nights and all of that because it's so wonderful. And straight up overhead for everybody, oh, dedicated, fabulous teammate listeners, you know, Venus and Uranus. Venus is back. I finally got to see her after sunset. Glorious. When she emerged from the underworld and we with her, she was in the sign of her exaltation, Pisces. Again, we'll get to compassion with Sizzle over and over again. And then she entered Aries, the woofy Venusian hero within us all, and now she is conjoining Uranus, trickster. So we go the artist as trickster, redeemer, assuming cultural narrative lead. And that's what I also want to praise to the Parkland youth part of ourselves, right? It's assuming cultural narrative lead, right, in the realm of sane reverence.
Yeah, they're stepping up. There's nature abhors a vacuum, and leadership and vision seem to be missing. And so if the kids can see that and point the way, then we're all ears. We're all ears, and they're laying their lives on the line, literally.
Yes. Now, I have a list of your aphorisms here, but I don't want to just hoover them all and pretend they're mine. Do you want to pick some up, or I could start off the thoughts we choose to act upon.
Define us to ourselves. The ones we don't, define us to others. That was probably the first aphorism I wrote at age 19.
Ah.
In college, in George Washington University, living by myself for the first time.
Oh, yeah. So we've been tracking for a while. We just hadn't met until last spring. So yes, the thoughts we choose. Oh, that's the cat stepping on the... Oh, that's right. Okay, we're back.
Now we know who's behind... what was it? Mercury?
All right, that's very exciting. In a live home studio, we have Kismet Kitty, the Egyptian cat, operating the board. All right, there we go. We're back now.
Does Kismet, if I'm not mistaken, does that mean fate in Turkish?
It does. It means something positive intended by fate.
Beautiful. Better than fate.
Well, there's also... What was the tweet that I just retweeted as well? Free will is to follow our...
Destiny.
There we go.
That's huge. That happens to be my phrasing, but it's certainly not my idea alone, because truth agrees with itself. As a young man, I was probably first exposed to a version of that in Omar Khayyam, his Rubaiyat, and I paraphrase grossly, but he says, the moving finger writes, and having writ, nor all thy tears, nor all thy wit, can erase half a line of it. Something along the lines of destiny is in charge. We are involved, but at the same time, there's a grander purpose. As I grew older and shirked off the existentialist doubt cloak, I also was gravitating towards this idea of the Stoics, where you had the cart and the donkey, or the dog and the cart, whichever you like, but you thought you had free will until you were yanked in a different direction. So the rope was slack until you fought or resisted where you were meant to go, and then you were dragged there. So the idea was to yield, and Gubran is very good. Gubran, my compatriot, my Lebanese mystic, poet, philosopher, guide since I was 14, talks about the free man is he who accepts the slave bond patiently.
All right, we have to put all these things in our pipe and smoke them. But to rewind to destiny for a moment, I love the Celtic phrase to dree one's weird. It means to play your role in destiny.
Beautiful.
So we're back to the microphone.
Beautiful.
So that's right.
To play your role, yes.
To play your role, and so just everybody out there in our dedicated listening team, we might just say we are willing to dree our weird. Dree our weird. We are willing to dree our weird.
Discover your role and then give your all to it, unstintingly.
Right. Well, it's like the great thing, you know, Michael Ventura wrote about Marie Laveau. She did not create cultural movements, but a woman of her substance understood what was at stake. Saw a role to be played and played it to the hilt, helping to coalesce a scattered and oppressed people into a moment of dynamic cultural ecstasy. Right, so we don't have to create cultural movements. These things are blowing. They're emerging from Gaia herself, but we do want to put up our sails and, you know, hoist our sails of willingness. Because the other quote that I don't know who said it, so I yearn to attribute, right, but it's a great one. Listen for your destiny, and when it calls, release your plans.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm on board. Listen, and when it calls, release your plans. Absolutely. It's right. The same idea. It's the same idea in the sense that there's a collaboration there, but you're not taking the lead. You're awaiting further instructions. And then when you receive them, you say, oh, by the way, I had an idea. I mean, I love this field trip we're taking, but I thought maybe we could stop over here and have a bite and the rest of it. But you're waiting to receive orders.
Right. And it's also, I just excavated, we're all, you know, Jupiter is retrograde in Scorpio. We're all excavating the different chapters of our lives and literal piles of paper and files and everything going, oh. And I did excavate and played a little bit for our radio audience in Fundrive. The very first Visionary Activist show, September 5th, 1996, with James Hillman as my guest. And he had just published The Soul's Code. And we have a conversation that really, it could have happened 20 minutes ago. It's so pertinent. But he's talking about the Soul's Code, which we could think of as destiny. It's our blueprint. It's what we agreed to. You know, and Doris Lessing also does a great thing in Shikasta and her sort of space novels, is when people deviate, right, when they're going to do the lucrative, cheesy, conventional, orthodox thing that is not what they'd... was not their gift, you know, the backstage of Invisible Spirits is like, no, remember, no. And that's why people are like, oh, tormented.
Well, that's sin, without giving too heavy-handed about it. Parabola magazine, which is delightful, if you're interested in matters of the spirit, did a wonderful issue about sin. But it wasn't heavy-handed, and it wasn't moralizing or chastising. It was just tracing origins. And one of the things that they began with is sin is deviating. It's deviating from what is good to you, what is good for you, rather, or what elevates, what enlightens, what sustains, and the rest of it. So it's not something to talk about in a chastising manner, but it's certainly something to recognize inwardly and quietly. What
right.
furthers you?
Well, and one of the early etymologies of sin was missing the mark.
That's exactly what they had on their cover.
Right.
Is the notion of missing the mark, yes.
That's right.
It.
And then also I love that the Ten Commandments were actually stolen from the Egyptian Book of the Dead, right? And it's 101 professions in which Osiris says, I have not stolen. I have not committed deeds, you know. And the Old Testament stole them and turned them into finger-wagging, limiting, chastising commandments rather than professions, inspirational professions of virtue.
To make peace with everyone listening, we'll say that truth agrees with itself.
Oh, that's very good.
There we go.
You're reaching out to all those who did it, Yahweh.
Happy Easter around the bend.
Right. Happy. No, that's true. It is Easter, and we are weaving the secular muggle and the mythic and the everything, because, you know, the huge forces of nature, they do engage the human mythological.
Of course.
You know, in Good Friday tomorrow is the day when so many terrible things happened in Alaska. It was the hugest earthquake they had, and it was the, you know, March 24th, Good Friday, Exxon Valdez cataclysm, in which it was said it wasn't Captain Ahab at the helm, it was Curly and Moe in the boardroom. You know, it's an ongoing, you know, thing, and as many people, Dan Lenkert and David Grimes and many friends of this show and friends of the world, you know, said their activism came alive, but the Good Friday was not lost even on the scientists. They all said the animals died for our sins. You know, and what happened actually that night was there were strict rational scientists and people, I mean, all decrying the tragedy, and many of them had the same dream. And they saw the animal spirits coming up through Heart Island. It's an island shaped like a heart in the middle of the spill. And they said that the dream moved them to tears because the animal's message was love. Right? So we go, So, yeah, so the secular, the Good Friday, and we go, well, it behooves us to animate the desirable with all these mythological beings, opportunities being generously proffered to us, lest we leave it by default to the Dementors of Doom, George W. Bush, you know, bombing Iraq on Persian New Year and all. We go, no, no, very bad. So I like that Easter this year is on All Fools' Day.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it now?
Well, let's have the resurrection of the trickster redeemer within us all, right? All those things. And remember, the word heretic was a term of praise in early Christianity. Boy, that Yahya sure is a great heretic, because it meant free thinker. And only when the liberating teachings of Jesus were kidnapped and hoodwinked into servitude to the state by Paul, called the early Karl Rove, was heresy a bad thing, right? So let this Easter, you want to do a blessing for Easter, again, even though you are you know, all religions and Egyptian Islamic as well, you know, but it is Easter rebirth, which is timed by the first Sunday after the full moon, after the equinox, right?
So rebirth is big, though. I mean, irrespective of what you subscribe to, rebirth is huge. How could you not want to be reborn? Especially if you've lived fully, you know, relinquish that and start again.
That's good. So a toast to rebirth.
Yes,
a toast,
please.
To all fools, and may everyone's wise, liberating fool be born this Sunday, regardless of belief, shmalief, doesn't matter. It's an opportunity. Why not have this Sunday be the rebirth and the, you know, and, well, you know, it's also, you know, Good Friday, we can go more, you know, and when the words of ascribed anguish attributed to Jesus on the cross, oh God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There's two whys in Hebrew. One is the complaint, you know, why the bleep hast thou forsaken me? And one is curiosity, to what purpose? And Jesus uses the second. To what purpose hast thou abandoned me? It's an inquiry rather than a complaint, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then we have Crypt Saturday, and then Rebirth Sunday, and all of that. So, Yes, and I'm...
Yield to be reborn, whomever you are, as you see fit. And you know you need it. You know you want it.
What, the rebirth, the opportunity?
Oh, come on, who doesn't? Who doesn't? In some shape, fashion, or form. Just another way, another possibility. I mean, going back to Parkland, we all need here some form of rebirth, that's for sure.
Right. Well, you know, and the generous profferings of rebirth that abound. You know, every new moon, every full moon, every holy day, every whatever. There's such generosity
every
to go.
Every day as another chance. Every day an opportunity for rebirth.
And as the sacred teachings of Rocky and Bullwinkle would say, this time for sure. Right. So we're gonna pull off this renaissance. And then the quote I read you beforehand that I've used a great deal, but I do love it so much. From Augustus W. Hare, half the failures of this world arise from pulling in one's horse as he is leaping.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And you know what? You've mentioned it before and I forgot. And I'm falling under its spell all over again.
It's great because it's very witty and accurate for him to go half the failures. Not all the failures. It's very, you know, but I think, you know, for us to tease from this going, okay, you know, there are junctures in our lives, you know, young or old or whatever we are in our extremely temporary age, race, and gender assignment, where we can feel that wave, you know, feel that horse leaping and then pull back and go, no, let me stay alone, let me stay in, too big, not ready yet, you know. And I think at this point, or part of the maybe the rebirth celebration of this full moon, this waxing full moon, and all the, you know, adornments of human festivity around it, going, right, let's just say for the fun of it and for the reciprocal blessing,
we're gonna
look as good as Stormy Daniels does riding her horse. There's a fantastic picture of her riding her horse.
She's
a great horsewoman.
I can only imagine.
It's beautiful.
The leap and the net will appear. Is that a Zen proverb? If it's not, it should be.
Well, there we go. That's a really great. So again, so the trickster and do you think can we think of the aphorism genie as you are, as a kind of trickster? Because aphorisms, they do liberate, right? They're like, whoa.
Well, aphorisms, first of all, the aphorism genie is delightful. It's something I can't take as my own, but I love the image, the genie. And the genie is a trickster, isn't he? Mm. He shows up out of the blue, and says, you know, what would you like? You know, name your wishes. So aphorisms aren't necessarily meant to come from on high like truths. They're just meant to prod you and tickle you into reconsidering whatever hard-held views you have, or ready-made, unaccepted, unimagined views you have.
Well, and they're so tasty. You know, it's such a treat that you've offered these to us, because they are so easy, you guy over there. It's such a tasty thing. Oh, we don't know why it's doing that. But Mercury, praise Mercury some more, so that the Mercury genie... Mercury is good.
Mercury means well.
There we go. Easy, easy. Mercury, there you go. Okay, that's wonderful. In the deep end, every stroke counts, you have said before.
And aren't we all always in the deep end?
We are, and you can't expect to bury pain and have it not grow roots.
Yeah,
it's you
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and the kind of continuation of that is if we tend to it, whatever the pain might be, it might bear tender fruits. So there's a notion of, yes, you have the pain, you bury it, it's going to come back up again. But maybe if you stand there and you care for it and you guide it, it won't be something so terrible that you receive.
Right. And I think when we're going to take a very short break in some moments, but when we come back, maybe talking about demons and impulses and how we name them and dance with them, our own and others.
Gigante, gigante, if I spoke Spanish.
Oh, that what is that?
Gigante.
Which is what?
Huge.
Gigante.
Or huge, as some might say.
Huge. Okay, so our wonderful guest is Yahia Lababidi. You can follow him on Twitter at Yahia Lababidi. And my website, Coyote Network News, and Facebook pages, all of his links are posted. And we will be right back after this very short break.
Can I talk?
I don't know.
Can you hear me, dear listener? I'm still alive, even in the break.
I don't know.
Who knows? Someone will tell us. How long do we have?
Oh, there we go. Constellation
that dazzled them across his eyes. She shook the constellation that dazzled them across his eyes. She showered his head with quasars and made his tortoise cry.
Oh, get down.
Chiny, 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 come blow my chiny home. Ooh, chiny, 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 come blow my chiny home. Telegraph my indigo sky ship, make its voyage long.
Now get down.
Welcome back, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey, and we have here our Coyote Network News aphorism genie, Egyptian-American poet Yahia Lababidi, that we may weave everything, the secular, the spiritual, the muggle news, into liberating divination, a feast of aphorisms as part of what Yahia presents to us, which is great. So, demons, naming demons, and you have a lot on demons, too.
Apparently, I do.
Impulses, I don't know about that. Impulses we attempt to strangle only develop stronger muscles.
Mm. And strangle us in turn. I don't know if that's part of the aphorism, but it was in my head.
Right. So we wonder, I'm sort of waiting for a second half of that.
There is a battle. There is definitely a battle.
But we strengthen whatever we oppose, says late great Ursula Le Guin, right? So, you know, it's like, you know, what we spoke about last time too, that, you know, aspiring to follow my own, whatever it is. I used to say all war is a failure of imagination. And then I go, well, come on, Caroline, you know, do the second half. If all war is a failure of imagination, then all peace is a triumph of imagination.
Sure.
And I felt much better.
Yeah.
So if impulses we attempt to strangle only develop stronger muscles, then impulses we...
We don't strangle.
We impulses we caress.
Caress is better.
I give that to you. There we go. But I also love this, in life as in love, graceful leave-taking is the epitome of gratitude.
Yeah, that's a tough one. But that can be, again, whatever you like. It can be relationships. It can be your relationship with life. There's to leave bowing gracefully without protest. There's something grand to that, too.
Well, I've always thought, you know, if you can't break up a relationship, it's a sure with grace, it's a sure signature it should have never existed.
True.
You know, anyway, true. So it's related. It's related.
Yeah.
And then, I love this couple. I guess I'm just offering you to you here. To hurry pain is to leave a classroom still in session, but to prolong pain is to miss the next lesson.
That's the trick.
That's the trick.
To know how long to hang around. You don't want to worry the thing to death. It's like painters. You've got a sheet of paper, a canvas, whatever. You don't want to go through the sheet because you're going over and over the thing. Just, you know when to step back. St. Augustine, I believe, whom we're allowed to quote, says, step back that you may be approached. There's a wisdom to stepping back, but also Tao tells us this all the time. Do you know when your dust has settled? When your dust has settled, this is when you can proceed. There's only so much in our hands. Back to the will and destiny. You do your part and the rest is mystery.
Yes. And then you know, so okay, demons. Do you have more demons you want to bring forth?
Well, I'd rather not.
Okay.
I mean, okay. I left those in the car. I didn't think they were welcome tonight.
Okay.
No, but there is one now. I think of which I don't even have the words for, but it's a short little poem, an aphoristic poem about sometimes turning down invites as though you were invited to a party or some other outing and you had to tend to the demons because they need to be fed. But now I think, you know, maybe you should have just gone to the party or taken out. But the demon represents something on a more serious note that needs to be addressed. And if addressed, will not grow out of control. You want to keep them manageable. Parents out there of the demonic, keep them manageable.
I don't know. I'm not sure your aphorisms would agree that demons are manageable, but I do like persuading, enticing them to become Dharma protectors. You know,
I'll take it.
Inviting the demons to become allies,
to become allies. That's actually, honest to goodness, that's where we're going with this.
Well, and I think that's what we want to be doing. I mean, the Parkland youth and everybody and all good-hearted people and whatever is, you know, the magnetizing of the desirable story. Again, you know, the renaissance of everyone's wit and dedication and dedication to collective well-being. You know, come on over here, everyone. You know, the artist magnetizes the desirable story. Come on over here. You're welcome to come over here. No, don't do that. Over here. It's like the dog whisperer as well. You know, hey, no, over here. Who's a good former NSA guy? Yes, you are. Who's a good former CIA? Well, over here. Because it's the detective novels, right, in which the bad demons come up and go, oh, I was going to kill you or harm you, but
yeah.
I sense that you're authentic.
Mm.
You know, and authenticity is the crucial thing in Chinese fairy tales. Authenticity is the protection against evil.
This is beautiful. Everything you're saying resonates. I don't have the words, even my own at this point, regarding this subject. But it does have to do with not alienating them. You don't want to alienate the demons. You want to. I really like the way you put it. I don't think I can add to that.
Well, I also love, you know, my astrological colleague Sylvia, you know, who says, well, it's about praising demons, and she says, you know, even, you know, in long ago when she felt too fat, she said she would praise her fat cells, going, oh, you are so beautiful and glistening and round, but you know, you'd be even more beautiful if you were, you know, oval. There you go.
I think it's got to do with laughter. We've probably talked
laughter,
about this before.
Laughter, good.
Play is really the first and the last word, as far as I'm concerned. To be able to approach things, Merton, I know I've quoted Merton before, but he talks about the tragic seriousness of war because it fails to play with the seriousness of a child, let's say. So it's this idea, even the demons, whatever the demons may be, play with them, tickle them, address them in a manner that it's not antagonistic, like everything you've said. So, nothing. I really yield to what you've the way you've formulated it.
Well, that's great. I get to be Japanese. Odoi tashimashite. I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy of your praise.
And I am unworthy of yours.
Oh, there we go. Okay, let's have tea. So you know, at the Monroe Institute, which is in Faber, Virginia, and quite an interesting place. It started in 1971. I'd heard about it. You know, and they asked me to give a speech to their professional class that week. But something I just wanted to bring up. The headline is "We Are Laughing Glow in the Dark Beings." And so there's two parts to this. One is, I love the woman giving a TED Talk on why we laugh, and somebody asked her, well, why when people, you know, smoke particularly good weed, do they get giggly? And, you know, some people get annoyed, and, you know, and the woman scientist said, it's not that that marijuana causes laughter, it's that it takes off the suppressant. She said, we are a laughing species. We are a laughing, chortling species. And we want to get back to that. And at the Monroe Institute, there was somebody reporting in from, you know, what used to be Duke University, now it's the Rhine Institute, that's associated with the Monroe Institute, you know, where the term ESP came from and everything. They have a bioenergy lab, which is a dark box with a camera that measures photons. And when there's nothing in that room, there's 2 to 3 photons per second. When you put a human in the room, it's 12 to 20 photons And he said, we glow in the dark.
Mm.
We are laughing, glow in the dark people.
That's really everything, isn't it? I mean, what can we add to that?
I think on and on, you know. And,
the
and,
luminosity, well, the levity. I mean, what can you really add to that?
That's good. Luminosity and levity.
But that's it. We aspire to that. We respect people who, in the midst of duress, emanate both. What can you add to that?
That's great. That's great. And then actually this is slightly taking away from that, and I want to return to it because the second thing they did with the bioenergy lab in at Duke University or at the Rhine Institute, they put humans in, okay, 12 to 20 photons per second, you know, because we're emitting light. And then they said to the alleged healers, okay, do your thing, right? And they said 90% nothing, no change. 10% it went up to 1,000,000 photons per second. And it doesn't mean that 90% of the healers were bogus. It just means something else. But 10% were like,
we're red. Yeah, yeah.
Light was their thing.
They were up for it.
But I want to come back to, yes, we've gotten luminosity and levity to partner by our conversing, you know, and may it be.
But that's what we seek. I mean, we seek that whether if we're readers, if we're people who look for it in art and culture, not even that, in people. Cool, the definition of cool varies generationally. But generally speaking, I think we agree that someone cool is unruffled or unflappable or laughs in the face of danger and also gives off light, because that's what we mean by levity. It's also that light. I'm not weighed down. I think of a Huxley quote, I can't remember it now, but it's all about, he says, you know, lightly, my darling, over these quicksands, lightly, not even to carry nothing, just lightly. And this is how we wish to proceed.
Right. And then I have to come back, because cool, I carry in my little magic backpack. And again, there's a million ways to engage it. And as you said, yeah, it is the dark humor and the spicy good thing. And it does come from a Yoruba word, kulukulu, popularized by black, you know, jazz musicians in the 40s. And in Yoruba, it means completely responsible.
Very nice.
The cool poet, right,
is
just the words, the divine, the dedication, nothing overplayed. The cool passage of drumming is just the drummer, the drum, the divine.
Mm.
To be cool is to take care. The cool guy takes care of the neighborhood. And in Yoruba, as in English, it also means cool like temperature. So they say words are magic. To imagine our heads as cool, move all the heat in the head down from the head down to the heart where it belongs. It's the opposite of road rage, right? To allow us to be, you know, agents of cool response in a hot reactive world. And we go,
absolutely. And we all look for cues. I mean, everyone's sort of looking for examples, and you see people like that and you're like, yes, that's the way I wish to respond.
Yes. So your book is wending its way. It's wending its way to its collaborative publication dynamic.
Yeah. I think there's a hardcover out soonish, which I want to say is in the next few months. And autumn is a paperback that will be presumably in airports and bookstores and the rest of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? Airports?
That's what I was told. Something along those lines. It's
fabulous.
Fairly wide distribution.
Wow.
But now, and I don't know if this is appropriate, nudge me in the correct direction if it's not.
Okay.
Now I'm engaged in something new. I who swore never to blog. I who viewed blogging as infradig, Latin for beneath my dignity, have now found it's possible. That too is possible. You're sketching versus, I don't know, drawing or painting. And I found a little outlet for that in the new world that we are collectively creating together, and it's called Steam It, if that rings any bell for anybody.
I can spell it for, well, it is S-T-E-E-M-I-T,
right.
not S-T-A-M, S-T-E-E-M-I-T,
sure.
And again, you can just go there and look for Yahya Labapidi.
I know nothing about this world, I should say, because my wife alerted me to it. She's somewhere here reclining.
Yes, hello.
She's somewhere here reclining. But it's the world of cryptocurrency. Whoever is interested
what?
In that
what?
Jazz. Have you heard of cryptocurrency?
Yes, okay. Yes, right.
So I don't know because I don't understand numbers.
What is your leap? How have you gone here?
Here's how I was told. My wife, who has my best interests in mind and those of other people, she says to me, "Why are you on Facebook?" This is before everyone started jumping ship because of the scandal or whatever it is breach of confidence, whatever it is that has everyone jumpy. She said, "If you're doing this, why don't you go somewhere where they will reward you for it?" I said, "Reward me how? I'm already rewarded." She said, "No, I mean, where you can get paid, where it's they call it monetizing enthusiasm. But basically, you can post the way you would on a Facebook. You can curate and you can be rewarded and paid in cryptocurrency for both." So I've been doing this for 4 months now.
Huh.
And it's been quite rewarding. I mean, I've been introduced to a new world, and it's exciting. I mean, to have this platform as a poet, certainly to encounter people who are attempting this in this new world, and there we have it. And so I'm no longer averse to blogging. I do that on a regular basis.
Well, I think also if we change the word blog, because the word blog is very ugly.
It sounds heavy, like a toad squatting.
Blog.
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 It's like a digestive mistake. Blog.
Right.
Blog. Excuse me while I retire to blog.
Yeah.
Right. It's not an attractive organic function, bloggy. But you're writing essays or maybe
poetry. Mm-hmm. Steam is the currency, and built on top of it is Steemit, which is a social media platform.
Hmm.
And the reason why it has people from YouTube flocking to it, like Jimmy Dore, I can't think of any other names, but there's plenty, because it's decentralized and it's uncensored, so you can let it all hang, whatever it is. So in my case, my stuff is not usually too inflammatory or controversial, but people who have the issue on other platforms go there to speak truths that government institutions and such don't approve of. And I think this is happening across the line. I'm not someone who's well-versed in the money world, but there's a revolution happening there. People are mistrustful of institutions, be they government, be they media, be they money. Something is happening and people are migrating elsewhere. And you know what? I was given a nudge and I thought, Mercury, down boy.
Down boy.
I'll take it.
Okay. Keep going.
That's it. I will not ruffle Mercury.
I don't
feathers.
Know. These are mysteries. These are mysteries abounding. But I went to Steam to look at your thing, and it's a thing where you give half a quote, and then to hear the rest of the quote, you have to pay a cryptocurrency fee. Is that what that works?
I haven't done quite that yet, but that's interesting that you would propose that suggestion.
No, I'm not proposing it. That's what it looked like.
No, maybe that's all you could read as an outsider.
Right.
Maybe you have to sign up. Now, if you sign up, it's perfectly for free. You don't pay anything. You only make money if you're any good at posting or curating, which is kind of, in a way, metaphorically, euphemistically, what we do anyway as creative types. We create content and we curate content. And in this case, they reward you. So you have news types, scientists, money types, technological people, and people like myself who are neither here nor there.
That's a great freedom to be neither here nor there.
I think so.
You're everywhere.
That's
really great. So not bound by time and space. Yahia Lavabidi. That's great. But so explain a simple thing in the cryptocurrency. So people go, "God, I love your work. Let me pay you, $5 million in cryptocurrency." Can you buy a cup of coffee now?
Absolutely. Much more than that. I got through my whole Peru trip, my 2-month Peru trip, off of that.
How did you buy a cup of coffee with your cryptocurrency?
Well, here's how it works. So in Facebook, you get hearts and thumbs up and of course, kind, often sincere encouragement or connection from your fellow humans. The difference is on Steemit, the likes and hearts are people rewarding you with cryptocurrency. In this case, it's Steem. And Steem can be translated into, Litecoin or whatever you're comfortable translating into, and ca- cashed out that same day if you wish. Now, I did that for a while, and many people do for a while or however long they like to, or you can invest back into the platform and have some skin in the game, and then you have steam power. There's the word power. And then you can upvote other people and you give them money just by liking them. And it's something that I'm still learning, okay. but I invite you to investigate if you're curious.
Well, I will. I mean, well, because, you know, the technology of autonomy is so impressive. I mean, again, here I am, you know, connected to beloved KPFA in this adorable way. You know.
Transparency, I might add.
Transparency. What, Steam?
Because it's decentralized. So there's no, like, if you were freaked out by Facebook, by the way, I'm very involved in Facebook. I just haven't been there for a few months. But if you, whomever you might be, were freaked out by the breach of confidence or privacy or the rest of it, the thing with Steam is there is no puppeteer. There are no strings. It's decentralized. That's the blockchain. It's a ledger. So whatever you write is there. Everyone, whatever they write is there forevermore. And you are uncensored. You're interacting in a different way. And you're being rewarded. People get to decide. It's like reading a newspaper and saying, oh, this is a crap article. Downvote. No money. This is a good article. Upvote. And you've got people, you know, who've come from YouTube and the Young Turks and other outlets who are making like $5,000 and hundreds just everywhere just off of articles that they couldn't publish on other platforms.
Yeah. So it's a kind of autonomy.
It's very much an autonomy for people who have not found that space elsewhere.
Ah, okay. Autonomy as a sacrament is one of the things I carry around with me.
Absolutely.
That's great. But again, many of our dedicated listeners probably know this simple thing, but just help me one more time. You get a Bitcoin, and now how do you buy a cup of coffee?
So you sign up the way you would sign up for anything else. I've heard now it's taking 2 weeks or more to be accepted, maybe because there's an influx. It's still 2 years young. I want to say there's under 500,000 people, so nowhere near a Facebook. But it's an interesting set. You just sign up, you get an account, and you start blogging.
Right.
And as you blog, you build steam. You're paid back, instead of hearts and thumbs up, in a cryptocurrency called steam.
Steam, okay.
That steam, if you wish, you can translate into, you can basically cash out.
That's so, what I want to know. You transfer it.
So when I was back to my Peru trip, for example, I sustained myself and mi esposa, my wife, in for this trip using my blogging, which I could obviously never have done through Facebook, because at that time I was cashing out. Now that I'm slightly more deeply invested in it, I'm returning my earnings to the platform to gain more steam power, to kind of be more implicated. But whatever you make, you take that cryptocurrency and you translate it into what we call fiat. Fiat is dollars, is the green.
And how do you do that? How does it translate into dollars?
You can turn it into a Bitcoin, which is slightly more complicated because
I just want to buy a cup of coffee.
Litecoin. I turn mine into Litecoin. So you take your steam, you transfer it into Litecoin, and then you take that Litecoin and you turn it into dollars, and you go out with a few hundred dollars because you've written some posts.
You turn it into dollars in your bank account?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
You first take, you're paid in cryptocurrency called Steam, because Steam it is the social media platform built upon the Steam currency, cryptocurrency.
No, I got that part. Okay.
So you take that currency.
Yeah.
And you turn it into another cryptocurrency, which is called Litecoin. For example, I'm not endorsing the Litecoin. It's just easy and fast. And that afternoon, you turn the Litecoin into dollars, and you go out and you don't buy a coffee. You have a lobster dish. with a glass of champagne if you've done well.
Or tempeh. Well, according to your...
Whatever you like. I think I have that.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, there's Patreon, of course, which is where people go, I like you, here's, you know, $5 a month, which is, again, these are all intriguing things, you know, again, of autonomy and source funding. And, you know, it's also like, you know, Beautiful Pacifica, you know, again, does not pay its weekly programmers, right? But somebody could. Somebody could. So it's that idea of, you know, we don't need one source of income, but we do need some sources, right?
It's just the idea of taking back, I mean, if you are someone who's a blogger, who's interested in music, because on top of Steam is also DSound, and there's a DTube. A lot of YouTubers are fleeing and coming, again, to this Steemit platform because there's censoring, because YouTube is cutting into their earnings and the rest of it. So if you're someone who is a creative type, who would like to be rewarded for your creativity, there's an outlet there. I'm not endorsing it. I'm saying investigate.
Right. No, I can't take it in until you turn it into an aphorism. But I'm almost there. I'm almost there. So again, we in our precious waning minutes-ish. I have a list of your great aphorisms here. But do something surface again that you would like to express on one of your aphorisms?
I don't know that I have one particular thing. You've said so much as always. That's good to chew around.
Let's play. Let's see. Well, we can go back to, you know, again, and somehow Bitcoin esteemed. Whatever.
It's a big idea. I always found money gross and repulsive, and that's a problem I have as a starving artist who insists on starving. But suddenly, there's a possibility that, you know, you can do it in an honorable way, and you can call the shots, and there's a new way, there's a new world that's taking shape.
All right, we do want a blessing from you or from me or from the animals who are listening.
It must be.
That's great. That's right. Whatever it is, because we're on our way out, truth can be like a large bothersome fly. Brush it away and it returns buzzing. But also, as in the case of my wonderful friend wonderful fellow astrologer, Heather, whatever her name is, in New Mexico, a fly buzzing, and wouldn't let go. And then she finally got up and moved, and lightning struck the tree she'd been sitting under. So sometimes that fly is a great ally.
Yes.
What annoys us is just trying to save us, or something possibly like that. Anyway, thank you so much, dear ally, and I'm delighted that I get to be part of your Egyptian Colombian Easter celebration, your Islamic Christian indigenous celebration.
I do.
So that's wonderful. And thanks always to Erica Bridgman in Berkeley, wonderful board op, and to Yahia Lababidi and all of the many things. And yes, Bitcoin wisdom, we don't know, but there'll be other things coming out. And you can find out more about him, again, Coyote Network News. Or my I'm still on Facebook. Facebook pages, you can find him. Oh, there you are. They were all there. Thank you so much, team. And we will reconvene next week.